Luke is saying. Special themes. I either need a text that comes to me or a title. And Lynn, would you mind giving a hand back there? Someone just came in and they got their little child and they got their food and So when I came to the point of saying, okay, when I came to Christ, I was freed from a number of things. And that theme kind of hit me. Thank God I'm free. And there's a song that Gaithers do. And I'm going to ask Landon to play that, and then we'll go to the devotional. You can just sit and relax and enjoy it. There's no lyrics printed up, so just enjoy it. Crank her up on the volume.
For a long time I traveled.
We're going to enlarge it so you can see it. There we go.
Down a long, lonely road.
Crank her up.
My heart was so heavy, it sent I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus.
Why, we're young.
Oh, what a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood. Show me the way.
Is that your testimony this morning? Are you free? I'm not saying that you're at a place that you live in sinless perfection, but that you know that you've been touched by the King of Kings, by the Lord of Lords. Amen? Last week, we started this Holy Week by looking at Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And often in our lives, we'll feel the word given to us, and it doesn't seem to come about quite the way we thought it would. And that's the case for Israel. They're Palm Sunday, they're welcoming Christ in, and he's riding on the colt of a donkey. You're aware, are you, that donkey's the only animal that in its natural coloring has a cross on it? Hi. And he wrote it. They didn't see the cross. What they were looking at is they're looking at the promise to Abraham, which was reinforced to Isaac and to Jacob. And then they're looking at the promise to David that his kingdom would be an everlasting kingdom. What they struggled with was they anticipated that promise and they expected Christ to fulfill that. But what they didn't see was they didn't see Isaiah 52 and 53. They didn't see the suffering Messiah. 53 is often referred to by the Jews as the forbidden chapter. Don't read it because it'll confuse you. Because they're looking at the promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and the promise given to the people as they came out of bondage in Egypt. And they're the promise given to David that his throne would be established as an everlasting throne. So they're looking for the Messiah to do that. But what do you do with his death? They just didn't know how to handle that. Well, that takes us to today. Thank God I'm free. Sunday, just to give you a little preview, we're going to look at primarily our launching point will be Romans chapter 1, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and to the Gentile also. And the whole thing focuses around, earlier in that chapter, he says that Jesus was demonstrated to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection. Paul wasn't persecuted for preaching the cross. He is persecuted for preaching the resurrection. So we're going to deal with that on Sunday. Today, thank God I'm free. When we think of freedom, you may have very different thoughts than mine, and that's neither right or wrong. It's just that's our personal. When I think of freedom, I think of how the Passover was instituted, where they come out of bondage in Egypt. And then I think of the paralytic, the paralyzed man whose friends bring him to Christ. And then I think of the one thief on the cross. One rejected him and one accepted him. And then our closing this morning is your own personal journey. I want to, if you look at the purpose, which Eleanor has very graciously added that to all of the bulletins. I when I do prepare a devotional, I state a purpose that I have in mind. And the stated purpose I had in mind for this was I want to motivate my congregation to review their journey to freedom through Christ Jesus. You know, some of us have been on the road for quite a while. My prayer is that I'm on the road and not in the road. You know, because there's a difference. And how you come to that place of freedom, we need to remember that, not let it be ancient history. It needs to be a current experience in my life. I need to understand in my life that I have the liberty through Christ to continually walk in the freedom that I experienced so many years ago when I accepted Christ. So this morning we're going to look first at Israel. Thank God I'm free. The establishment of the Passover, Exodus 2, 23 to 25. During those days, the king of Egypt died. Which days? The days, this is after Moses has slain an Egyptian, and he thought he got away with it, and then he realizes the next day when he's confronting two Israelites who are bickering, and the one says to the other, what are you going to do? You're going to slay us like you slayed the Egyptian the other day. And then Moses knew that his sin was found out, and he had to flee for his life. And while he was gone, he was absent for 40 years. During those days, that's the days that are being referred to, during those days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, and they cried for help. That one always causes me to chuckle a little bit, because in some regards, that was me. I came to Christ later in life. I had rejected Christ as a 14-year-old. It just made no sense to me. My dad was a very marginal Christian, and he says, you don't want to go to church anymore. I said, no, not really. He says, okay. And that ended our family going to church. He just needed a good reason not to go. Years later, I had the honor of leading him in a recommitment to Christ, and then a matter of days later, he had surgery, and then a matter of weeks later, he was gone. But I reject Israel, at this point, had been slaves for 400 years. How long do some of us need to toil and struggle before we call out to God? Yeah. They cried for help. It took them 400 years. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. It's not that he had forgotten. If our God can forget anything, he's not God. When they cried, he declared the covenant again. And he purposed to do something. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior yet, he has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten the price that he paid on the cross for you. But when you call out to him, he enforces it all. He brings it back to action where we have caused it to go stagnant because we were content to remain in some kind of slavery. I have become really an alcoholic. And I had become very busy with the bank and a business I was involved in and a number of things. And I got caught. And then I realized the depth of the struggle that I was in. And I called out to God. It wasn't that God had forgotten me or forgotten my situation or forgotten the cross. But I had to come to that place to cry out. Amen? You need to remember your journey. You know, God saw the people of Israel. Verse 26. And God knew. He knows each one of us. He knows our pain. He knows our frustration. He knows our shortcomings. You know, God doesn't call perfect people. He calls people that need a perfect Savior. And they've come to the place of realizing that and accepting that. Then Exodus 7:14 to 9:29. We're not going to go through all that. That would take us into lunch, and you want lunch. Is the record of 9 plagues of judgment on the nation of Egypt, and each plague was God's hand against the false gods of Egypt. If you have a good study Bible in your possession, and I've showed Jason and Gerald. Hello. Jason, Jordan, whoever. Starts with a J. You know? A good study Bible will show you what each of the plagues which God it was attacking, you know, beginning with the Nile, then the frogs, you know, the gnats, the flies, and so on. Each was an attack on one of the Egyptian gods, because our God is God Almighty. He's not a false god. He brings them all low. He destroys them. Then in Exodus 11, 1 to 12, or sorry, verse 1 to 12:36 is the 10th plague. Pharaoh regarded himself as a god. And he says, get out of here, I don't want to see your face again. And Moses said, your face, our face you won't see again. But because of your stubbornness, because of your hardness of heart, there will be a death of the firstborn in every house and among every creature. So the firstborn among all the cattle and all the various things. And including in Pharaoh's house was the death of the firstborn. And it was the moving of the death angel through all of Egypt. And Israel was not exempt. Jordan was looking up in his study Bible that three of the plagues were common to Egypt and to Israel. Six, Israel was exempt from, but the seventh one, they were subject to it if they did not apply the blood to the doorposts. They had to present the Passover lamb, and for each family had to apply the blood to the doorposts. And that's a pattern for you and I. There is going to be a judgment. There's a judgment that's coming. The wrath of God is going to come. God will judge. And the only way through is to personally apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your life. Someone can't do it for you. You need to do it yourself. You know? That's the power of the illustration that was there. And then Exodus 12:37 to 15:27. We see that, you know, after the death of the firstborn throughout all of Egypt, they said, get rid of these people. This is destroying us. So they send them away, and they give them 400 years of back wages. They gave them gold and silver and various things, and they send them off. And they're not gone for long. They're journeying towards the Red Sea. And then Pharaoh and the leadership said, what have we done? This was our labor force. If they're not going to do it, we got to do it. So they changed their mind. They pursued them to bring them back. And they get to the edge of the Red Sea, and they're in this valley, and Pharaoh and his armies are coming behind them. And God has manifested himself to them, the pillar of fire by night, so they had central heating. You talked to a couple of weeks ago about, you know, your furnace. The other night, Wednesday night, late at night, I'm going to the washroom, and the fan starts to make some funny noise in the furnace. And then there's this terrible smell of something burning. And I'm very mechanical, so I didn't know what to do. I went down, and I got the cover off the furnace, but I couldn't see the motor. I couldn't see what was happening. Not because it was dark. It was invisible. I had lights on. And after about an hour, it was starting to get cold in the house. So I went down, and I didn't know what to do. And when we were in bed, my wife says, you know, we should pray. I said, what do you think I'm doing? You know, I wasn't sleeping. You know, I go down, and I start flipping some switches. And the next thing, the furnace comes on. And the furnace comes on. And there's no smell, and there's no noise. It's just running. No, that's not saying you lacked faith. That's just saying that's what happened. Something similar to that had happened 2 or 3 months ago. You know, All I know is we don't have filters in our furnace. We got this electrostatic thing that the dust goes through and it zaps it. And I think it must have been a furball that got caught in there and ignited and shut the motor off, and I don't know. But, it's all. My point is they had central light and heating at night, pillar of fire. And they didn't have to worry about a motor or anything, you know. And by day they had shade, the cloud. So the fire stood between them and the armies of Pharaoh. Because they're in this valley. There's no place to go. They got the Red Sea in front of them. And as you know the story, Moses strikes the Red Sea with the rod and it parts and they go through. And the amazing part is, I'm not a farmer, but I've been in the fields in the spring. Mud. They went through the Red Sea on dry ground. Parting the Red Sea is one thing, but how did he dry the ground? You know? And 600,000 men of fighting age went through it with their families and their kids and their herds and their flocks. And then Pharaoh goes to enter with his chariots and they get bogged down in the mud. Isn't that... That's bewildering, folks. It really is. And then they perish, and they were slaves. They had no armament. But Pharaoh's army died in the Red Sea, and the sea deposited the weaponry and the armor on the opposite shore for the Israelites. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. That's an illustration of God's power and ability. Amen? You know, not only were they set free, they were armed. When I accepted Christ, and I got this new one, when you accepted Christ, was there a crossing into a new faith walk? When I accepted Christ, I entered into a new walk, and things changed, and they changed quickly for me. I was so convicted that I felt, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but what does that mean? I had no idea. So I thought, I better figure this out. And I felt that I should go to Bible college, so I resigned the bank. At 27 years of age, that was scary. Now I'm unemployed. I was used to having an income, such as it was. And when you accepted Christ, can you think of, this is personal, this is to you. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, I'm not asking you to share. What changed? What changed? If there was no change, you need to go back and evaluate what you did. When you're set free, there's a change. When I was thinking about this, the next one that came to mind was the paralytic. Luke 5, 17 and 26, and we're familiar with this story. There was a paralyzed man, and Jesus in Capernaum, and his four friends pick up his bed, and they carry him to Jesus. They get there, and there's a crowd gathered around. They can't get to Jesus. You know, so they gave up and went home. No, they didn't. You know, they didn't have pitched roofs like we do here. They went up onto the roof, they tore back the tiles, and they lowered the bed through the roof to Jesus' feet. They had an expectation. You don't go to that kind of labor without an expectation. You know? And Jesus looks at him and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven of you." Did that fulfill the expectation of the four friends? Was that their expectation? They wanted the master to touch their friend. Now, Jesus understood that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, were saying, who does this guy think he is that he can forgive sins? Jesus understands what they're thinking. And he says, so that you would know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. He looks at him and he says, I say unto you, take up your bed and go home. And he took up his bed and he went home. That fulfilled the expectation of the four friends. But I want to declare to you today that whatever your expectation in life is for personal aspects of freedom, Christ has got something that goes beyond that. That doesn't mean he will miss your expectation, but your expectation doesn't measure up to what God wants to do. Verse 17, he says, the power of the Lord was with him to heal. I don't really understand that verse. That's a confession to you. Because we think of Jesus, where he went, he healed people. But do you understand that there's a word here from the Holy Spirit that said that it indicates that Jesus didn't always have that. There are occasions he did and there's occasions he didn't. And I don't understand that. But here he had, the Spirit was upon him, giving him the ability to heal. Maybe that's, Tim, maybe that's why the man at the pool by the temple, who Jesus had gone by many times, wasn't healed. But after the resurrection, Peter and John are going up into the temple, and he's begging for alms. You remember their comment? Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give we unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then walking and leaping and praising God. But Jesus had gone past that man before. I don't necessarily understand that. But it's there, so I got to allow it to get in them. If you've been praying for somebody and you haven't seen something happen yet, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep trusting God. And let God be God and let God do it when he wants. Amen? So I just throw that out to you. I mean, it's there. Read it. And I'm not pretending to understand it. I just accept it. Verses 18 and 19. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, the paralytic. How did you come to Christ? Who carried you? Do you know that most people, they did a survey, most people come to, you know, there's all kinds of evangelistic things that take place, you know, the I Found It campaign and, you know, crusades, and I got nothing against Billy Graham, but that's not how I came to Christ. For me, it was a family that got involved with my father when he was young and in his life. His mother had passed away. My dad was the oldest. And Reverend Cecil and Reverend Moore, Ruby Moore, brought him in, and they gave him a place to live. And Ruby Moore had prayed for our family for years. And when I was ordained, she had her grandson come to the ordination service. And he got up and he shared from the floor. He said, my grandmother, Reverend Ruby Moore, believed that John's dad had a call upon his life for ministry. But Freddie didn't respond. But she kept praying. And now her son, John, is accepting that call. How did I come to Christ? A prayer warrior named Ruby Moore. How did you come to Christ? They weren't perfect vessels, but someone like those four men carried you like they carried that paralytic. And he was set free, not just from his sin, but also from his paralysis. Justin, I don't know if you remember this. years ago, we had a midweek fellowship meeting, and we had some people come in from the Full Gospel Indian Bible Institute, and there was a First Nation guy there. He kept telling me, for years I've been in prison. For years I've been in prison, and I'm glad to be here. And I like to stir people up. I like to get their attention so they pay attention. And I looked at him. He's a big dude. He looked like he might have been a convict. And I looked at him, and I looked at Justin, and I said, this is my son. Do you remember this? I said, this is my son-in-law, Justin.
We're sitting in a meeting room right off the lobby there.
Yeah. And I said to him, I said, he's more of a man than you are. He says, what? I says, yeah. He had kidney failure, so you got two kidneys, but he's got three. He's got more than you. And you can see his whole demeanor change. And he started to smile, and they shook hands. You know, and then he explained, I think it was that night, I said, you know, you talk about how you've been in prison for years. He says, no, I was never in jail. But I was in a self-imposed prison. And God set me free. Yeah. But I had to do something to break through the exterior to get to him. And not did it. I wasn't sure if I was going to get hit or Justin was going to get hit, but we got through. Yeah. And notice in verse 20 it says, and when he saw their faith. Faith is active. Faith isn't passive. Doesn't lay down and do nothing. Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who is paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up his bed that he'd been laying on and went home, glorifying God. No kidding. And I have discovered that the deeper the hole you've come out of, the more you tend to glorify God. Yeah. I have far more to thank God for to the visible external than my wife, for example. She was raised as an MK, a missionary's kid. She never entered into the kind of things that I did. She accepted Christ at an early age. I want to tell you something right now. The keeping power of Christ, and your kids can be kept from a lot of things, that's a great testimony. We tend to look at those who come out of a mess and think that's a great testimony. There's a greater testimony. You know, none of our three kids have gone through anything near what I went through in nonsense and captivity and slavery that I did. They have a good testimony. Your kids, too. We need to hold to that. We need to realize that. He was set free from the judgment of sin and from his paralyzed condition. Thank God I'm set free. The thief on the cross, thank God I am free. Luke 23:32-43. There was also an inscription over him, this is the King of the Jews. Now we're back to the Palm Sunday. One of the accusations against Christ that the religious leaders were making is they claim that he's the King of the Jews. And we have no king but Caesar. And we've never been slaves. You know, we can so delude ourselves. It's incredible. And they said, no, don't put that on there. Say, he says he's the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. Okay. Then, and he's crucified with two thieves, one on either side of him. But the other one rebuking says, one's mocking him and saying, if you really are the king, if you're really the Messiah, the chosen one, take yourself off the cross and take us too, you know. And he's mocking him. And the other one rebukes him saying, do you not fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And I got a question there that I asked me. Maybe you want to ask yourself too. Do I walk daily with a genuine fear of God? Oh, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But do I have a reverence and an awe and a respect for God that produces a sense of fearful obedience? Okay. Thank God I'm free. I'm free to walk with Him. I'm free to serve Him. I'm not bound by things that had bound me for years in my life. Because I too, like my First Nation friend, I was in a self-imposed prison for many years. Verse 41, and we indeed justly, he says, listen, we're being put to death and we deserve it. I hear some people say, you know, well, you know, if there's a God, He'll accept me because I'm a good person. You have no concept of what good is. When compared to a holy and righteous God, there's none that seeketh after God. Romans 3. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And this man, in the pains of death, acknowledges that where he is as a result of his own action. He says, this is what we justly deserve. We indeed justly, for we're receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Do I truly acknowledge my guilt? It's easier to praise God when you realize consciously what you've come out of. For me, the walk has been for over 40 years now, but I'm very keenly aware of what I came out of. Every good thing that's happened in my life happened after I came to Christ. Nothing will ever diminish that understanding in my life. Nothing will blur what Jesus paid for me. And he looks at Christ and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay? Obviously, he understood the sign above him, King of the Jews. He believed that there was something after death and the cross. He says, remember me when you come into that kingdom. The closing for this is in John 14, 1 to 6. He says, if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. He's coming again. Amen? That was in one of your songs that you picked today, Justin. The whole idea that he's coming again. He's coming for a holy church. He's coming for a bride that he's redeemed. Verse 43, and he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Paul says, and I think it's in 2 Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know? There's not a purgatory. Nothing is going to qualify you more than the cross of Jesus Christ. On the cross, he said, it is finished. There's nothing more that can be paid. We can do nothing to add to the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. We're set free by the blood of the Lamb. I have personally applied it to the door of my heart. And that's all that's required. And as I do that, I begin a progressive walk with Him. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, the freedom to be released from judgment and kept in the presence of Jesus. Do you rest in that? We spent several weeks in the book of Jude. Jude 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved, and kept. Set free. Called into freedom. Embraced and told that you're loved and kept. As we close this meditation this morning, this is to you. I'm not asking you to share it, but I do pray that you will process this in your thinking in the next few days. 2 Timothy 4, 1-2 says, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. I saw a thing recently that I really appreciated. It was on internet, YouTube or something, I forget. It said, if the living knew what the dead know, they'd change their life. You know, you might question whether there's a heaven or whether there's a hell. Let me tell you a secret. The dead know. And if we knew what they know, we'd be calling out for freedom. He's the judge of the living and the dead. And by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Be ready in season. Know what God has done for you. The paralytic knew what God had done for him. The thief on the cross didn't have much time to tell anybody except the other thief on the other cross. Israel was a confused bunch. They saw 10 miraculous miracles. That's redundant, isn't it? What other kind of miracle is there but miraculous? You know, but they saw awesome miracles. And they crossed through the Red Sea. You know? And they grumble because there's no food. And then they get manna and they go, what is this stuff? That's what manna means. What is it? You know? And they're brought to the edge of entering into the promised land. They said, we can't take it. There's giants. You know, like, hadn't they seen something that indicated if God can get us out of Egypt, get us out of slavery, and get us through the Red Sea, he can do this? And they go, no, it ain't going to happen. We can't do it. They're giants. We're like grasshoppers. And in their sight, they think we're, you know, we can't do it. So they wander in the wilderness for 40 years until they all die. I calculated one time, I can't remember what the exact number was, but it averaged out, if I remember right, somewhere in the area of like 60 deaths a day on an average. Because you had, it was the 600,000 men of fighting age, and, you know, just simple mathematics tells you there's probably the same number of women of the same age. Hello? That's 1.2 million. And they all died in the wilderness. John, how long are you going to wander around not trusting me? I set you free. I can bring you into where I want. Amen? You know, thank God I'm set free. Yeah, I like that song. It really spoke to me. Caused me to rethink it. You know, the stuff I came out of. I'm not, you know, I don't want to boast about the past, but I tell you, it wasn't good. It's much better. For all of the stresses that happen in our lives, even today, whether it's cancer or whatever, or, you know, you're raising your kids and you're wondering, you know, listen, it is better than what it would have been if I'd stayed where I was. Thank God I'm free. Need to walk in that. And he's coming back for us. Amen? So we're going to prepare for communion, and we have a second song, and then Justin's going to have a closing song after the communion. This is one we've introduced the congregation. Richard actually learned it and played it. My worth is not in what I possess. It's right there. And crank her up. The lyrics do come up.
My worth is not in what I hold, not in the strength. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in you no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. The Sabbath lies with fate and die. Fame, youth, and beauty will be mine. My life eternal calls to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or love, or human wisdom's fleeting love, but I will boast in
your worth